Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Blazer Banter Podcast. I'm Eric Gunderson, the Trailblazers beat writer for the Columbian. This week we have another bonus episode. This week I called in my buddy Ryan McGoldrick to come in and talk NCAA tournament, come in and talk NBA draft, and he debuts a new award that I'm sure is going to be sweeping the internet, the Chandler Parsons Pick of the Year. So stay tuned for that, and we'll be back next week.
Yeah, can you edit out if I cuss or something?
Yeah, totally. Anyway, I'm here with my buddy Ryan McGoldrick. Ryan is a great basketball fan, great friend of mine. We used to watch the drafts together, the NBA draft, big draft guy. And it's also attorney time, so obviously we're going to talk about some of the guys that are in the draft right now. Ryan, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Excited to talk draft. I don't get to talk enough basketball with anybody else, so...
You and your just, fiance, not really.
She isn't, I tried to tell her. I was trying to tell her about the intricacies of some basketball stuff yesterday, about the history of why positions are called what they are, like the center, forwards, and guards. She did not care at all.
I think my girlfriend, Kelsey, she hates Stephen Curry. Because I love watching him so much. I think there's become a breaking point where she just can't take any more Steph Curry.
Yeah, we're way past there with just about every basketball thing. As I sit there and watch basketball every single night.
Blazers had a crazy game last night. I guess we can talk real quick before we get into the draft talk. What did you think about the fight?
I love Chris Kaman. He was probably not justified shoving Chris Paul, but Chris Paul dove on the ground after he'd been pushed.
And, you know, of all players in the league that probably deserve to get maybe thrown down by another player...
It's Chris Paul,
because he gets on everyone's nerves. I mean, he sat on Damian Lillard last night.
I saw that.
So it was... It was interesting. It was fun. I'm glad that there was some excitement.
Chris Paul also has, I've been noticing lately, he did it twice in the Warriors game where he just jumped in front of a huge big guy for the Warriors.
Yes.
And just got run over.
Yeah.
And he hurt his knee the second time he did it.
Yeah.
Which I thought was hilarious.
Yeah.
Because that's what happens when you jump in front of a 265-pound big man running down the court.
Maybe it'll hurt.
You get hurt.
Yeah, you get hurt.
And then...
What is our first on-location Blazer Banter podcast? We're outside right now at a bar in my neighborhood. And so if that's why you're wondering if there's any noise, that's why. But we're on location right now.
Out in the community.
Out in the community. We're trying to connect with our audience a little bit more.
Like that guy over there.
Like that
boxes.
Guy. Yeah, that's planting flowers.
He's in.
Yeah. I wanted to talk to Ryan because come draft time, we always get excited. And Ryan was the first person I'd ever heard of Chandler Parsons from. So, he created the Chandler Parsons Pick of the Year. And so we're gonna work it back through the years. Even though Chandler Parsons wasn't actually the first Chandler Parsons Player of the Year.
The Chandler Parsons Pick of the Year first started, so I first named it with Chandler Parsons, but before that, in 2009, we were watching the draft together, and I told Eric, Patty Mills, we need to get Patty Mills, no matter what, Blazers need to have Patty Mills. So I went to Gonzaga, watched him torch Gonzaga repeatedly. I was about 15 feet away when he broke his hand near the court. And I think I actually kicked a table over when the Blazers ended up picking Patty Mills out of sheer excitement. 55th pick in the draft.
As a witness, I saw that table fall over.
And then 2010 didn't make a pick, but after that started the Chandler Parsons Pick of the Year, which is a guy in the second round or undrafted that I think is going to end up being a starting caliber or better NBA player.
So take us through years. Obviously, you had Patty, then you had Parsons in 2011.
Parsons in 2011, 38th pick. Just watched him at Florida, loved him for some random reason. 2012 was Scott Machado. Most people don't know much about Scott Machado.
We all miss sometimes.
I missed on this one.
But, you know, he's in the D League, right?
He was undrafted, and then he spent like 2 years. He got picked up by a team. So this one's like, I don't feel too bad because he went undrafted and then got on an NBA roster. But still, I missed. Thought he was going to be an elite assist guy, but he wasn't. 2013, great year. Ray McCallum and Matthew Dellavedova.
Those are some feathers in the cap.
Matthew Dellavedova was another guy who at St. Mary's torched Gonzaga.
LeBron's favorite.
That's the majority of why I make these picks is just guys who are just torching Gonzaga.
So Justice Winslow, is obviously everyone's on to Justice Winslow, but...
Everyone's on to Justice. I can't pick him this year.
Yeah. So.
But yeah, Matthew Dellavedova was just the best pick and roll player I've seen in college basketball. And he doesn't do that as much now just because it's mostly just LeBron takes the ball and they do stuff like that. But he's awesome, even though he looks like a dumb caveman and I hate him. But he's still good. And then that was 2013 was those two. And then 2014 was Cle'Anthony Early and Mike Muscala. Cle'Anthony Early, I have an asterisk next to his name because when he was drafted, apparently, I found out a couple days after, he spent like half of his money that he had gotten for his contract on buying a new car immediately after getting the money. So I immediately regretted that decision and realized that he's a complete dummy. which made me regret that decision.
Yeah.
I think he's talented enough, but he's just an idiot.
Yeah.
Why would you do that? But Mike Muscala on the Hawks, I think he could be good.
Yeah,
he's
and
got
they
crazy post moves.
They kept him. They traded Adrian Payne. Seems like they like Muscala. So
the Payne train.
Yeah. He's
my buddy Ryan. I have another buddy named Ryan Daniel M. We're both Ryan Daniel M's, and we talk draft all the time together. Mm-hmm. And Adrian Payne is his guy, and he's a Wolves fan. So we always yell about the Payne train.
Was he happy that they gave up 2 first round picks for him?
He actually was okay with it. But I think it was just 1 first round pick, right?
It was 1 first round. Yeah, it wasn't 2. Yeah. I'm thinking of Mozgov.
It was a pick that's gonna end up being probably later in the draft. It'll be late first round. So it's like he's probably a late first round guy, even though he's like what, 17th pick or something.
Is it an OKC pick?
Or
is it some other good team? Maybe
like
a Cavs
that.
Pick?
It's something like that. Yeah.
I don't know.
It'll be probably someone around Adrian Payne's skill level.
Right.
Which he's like the coolest guy ever because he had that little girl he hung out with. It was like the saddest story ever.
Oh, right.
We won't get into that because that's the most depressing sports story of all time.
There's quite a few.
So, yeah, that was 2014. And then now we got the 2015 picks, which I got to wait to make the official pick until the draft actually happens.
Right. So do you want to divulge your nominees at this moment or guys that you have in mind? Like a short list. You know how they come up with the short list for the Naismith Award and then they cut it down?
This is my short list. Is Justin Anderson from Virginia. So he's a guy that...
Don't know him.
It's basically... He was the guy who was...
I'm learning a lot.
He basically ran Virginia. He was one of the reasons they were good. And he went from, like, his first 2... He's a junior. His first 2 years, he was really athletic, like, good defender, but a terrible three-point shooter. And then this year, he just, like, went off and shot, like, 50% from three. So it's like, if he continues that, he's going to be a very good NBA player. If he doesn't, he's probably going to be, like, okay at best. And he's the one who broke his hand. And then Caris LeVert from Michigan played great when they had a good team. But then this year when he had to take over as like the main guy, he kind of didn't play as well. So everybody was concerned about that. But I think if you're picking that late in the draft, you're not looking for a
main guy,
a star player to be like run your team. And then the other concern with him is he broke his foot twice. Stress fractures both times. So that's another one where you're like, if he's healthy, he's going to be good. But there's a good chance he won't be healthy. Or, I mean, it could happen.
Right. And there's, I mean, and
feet are on the mind.
Yeah.
Right now with Durant.
With Durant's and frail body finally breaking.
Yeah. I know. You know, I remember a lot of people were like, well, it doesn't matter that he doesn't lift weights and stuff. But does it matter now? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know where that...
I don't know. Obviously, I have no idea whether that would have prevented his foot injury or not.
But finally, I feel like OKC's lucky run of no injuries for like 4 years finally came back to bite him, and they caught the injury bug, and now everybody's hurt.
Yeah.
And now they know how everybody else feels.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was funny because you talk to a lot of people that have followed the league for a long time, or like, you know, and teams like OKC just didn't happen ever before, where everyone just gets perfect. Like, everyone has like a linear progression for like the first few years. They get to the conference finals, they get to the finals, and everything just keeps going on the up and up. Like, that doesn't ever happen. So
that's why I hate Oklahoma City fans, is because they don't know what it's like to not, until recently, they didn't know what it was like to have a team that like struggled and had injury problems.
They had bad luck.
Yeah, they just stole this team from Seattle, and then everything was perfect, and all of them thought, oh, this is just the way it goes. Everyone's all excited, oh, we have the best fans, blah, blah, blah. And then now I'm okay. I don't hate Oklahoma City anymore because they've gone through the injury bug. It's all squashed. They know what it's like. They can be good now. I'm okay with it.
What do you think, if they had Durant and Westbrook, do you think their fans would be as crazy?
No.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. They'd be like the rest of the teams in the southern half of the United States.
Where nobody goes.
That nobody goes to any of the games.
Yeah. I'm not excited to see it because obviously I kind of want Durant and Westbrook to stay together. I don't want them to separate, but it would be an interesting case study to see what happens if one of them does leave or both of them leaves.
I want Durant to leave because Westbrook is my favorite player in the NBA. Despite being on Oklahoma City, he's my favorite player, and I want to see him with like a 40% usage rate, just going bonkers, shooting or getting an assist every single play. That's what I want to see.
I love it now. If they had Ibaka, I mean, it's hard to judge them without Ibaka.
Yeah.
Because in a series, obviously we're going off on a, you know, but in a series, even if they don't have Durant, I'd just be curious to see them with a healthy Ibaka and just Westbrook running the show.
Yeah, because they haven't had that in, what, the third year in a row that one of those three has been hurt.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, Westbrook is carrying the offense like crazy. So I'd be interested to see how they could fare in the first round against Ibaka if he's healthy. I don't know if he's going to be or not. I can't remember off the top of my head right now.
I think I'm not sure.
I think it was like a month that he was going to be out or something like that. So, yeah, they've had some really crappy luck. But to the draft.
Oh, back the last
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, last guy.
Last one is Demetrius Jackson, who's the other guy at Notre Dame. There's Jerry.
Not Dryan.
Yeah, not Jerrion or Dryan or Jaron or whatever his name is, Grant. But the other one, the little point guard, he's got like a crazy big wingspan, really athletic, great handle, decent shooter, good passer. If he comes out in the draft, I don't know if he will. I think he's a sophomore. But if he comes out, I think those three guys will be somewhere around the end of the first into the early second. And those three are which I would love if the Blazers got one of those guys.
That's the short list.
Especially Demetrius Jackson. We could use another little point guard.
Are you not a believer in the Tim Frazier era?
I'm all aboard the Timmy Frazier bandwagon.
Even though nobody's seen him play. Like, I feel like everybody I talked to was like, who is Tim Frazier?
I found out that Tim Frazier existed roughly 2 days ago when you texted me and said, Timmy Frazier. Then I looked up on Google Images who Timmy Frazier is to see if I even recognize him. And the second picture was this teenage white kid with like old school Justin Bieber hair.
Was he wearing frat letters too?
Yeah. And, I don't think that's him, but there was only a few pictures that looked like it could be an NBA player.
I can confirm that Tim Frazier is not a white guy with Justin Bieber hair wearing frat letters. I can't
that's
confirm that.
I'm all aboard the Jimmy Frazier, Tim Frazier, whatever his name is, bandwagon.
Yeah. Tim Frazier's, they brought him in. I mean, I guess looking at the camp, you know, Alan Crabb's got an option that the team still has to pick up. And then they have a pick in this draft, which is hugely important because they're obviously, their plan is to go all in with these guys, I think. Mm-hmm. Spend a lot of money, probably going to the tax, and they're going to need cheap talent. So
yeah.
It was smart that they didn't give up this year's pick, even though it might not have been ideal that they gave up a pick in general.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of trading that pick.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Let's talk about the Aflalo trade.
So I was not big on the Aflalo trade. Partially I think it's just because I love the draft. So I think I'm like, I get angry when the Blazers don't have a pick like they did last year, and I get flustered that I can't cheer about the draft and make the Chandler Parsons pick of the year and the Blazers get him or something like that. But I also think that you need to use the draft and like try to get your young guys through there, and then if someone leaves, you replace them through the draft. That's what all the best teams
are. The Spurs almost never give up a pick.
Right.
Like, they always have their pick. Even if it's in, like, even if they take a Eurostash guy or whatever, they're always taking somebody, you know.
And I think players are much more likely to stick around, too, if you get them through the draft. Because that's the team they're drafted by, and then they play throughout their career. There's not as many guys who are, you know, bumping around to teams, and then you make a trade for them, and they stick with the team. And I'm not sure. I don't think the Blazers would have made that pick if they would have known that Wesley was going to get hurt. Because it was an all-in move. Wesley gets hurt.
And now they're...
Yeah, it's nice he can fill in with the starters, but, like, if you don't win a championship, then it's... And he leaves next year, you wasted a pick.
Yeah. Or even, like, get to the conference finals to show Aldridge that, you know, you can go far, yeah. You know, to, you know, where he's never been. Because, mm-hmm. You know, I mean... It's still always the possibility that he could leave, but, you know, I don't think he does, but, you know, yeah, when you lose that pick, especially, you know, for the future after this year, you know, 2016, they're not going to have a pick. That could, you know, be a problem. So, but speaking of this year's draft, obviously, it seems like everyone after that Notre Dame game has switched to the top two, which seems a little weird to me that it only took one game. But
so I have Jahlil Okafor. I don't think anyone agrees with me. I have him as my seventh best player in the draft. Nobody else agrees with this. I think I might be wrong. But
why not?
I got Towns at the top, and then I love either two and three is Moutier and Russell. And then after that, I think Willie Cauley-Stein is going to be better than Jahlil Okafor. Because Jahlil Okafor, so he can't play defense. He's terrible at defense. He's not a good rebounder. And he can't shoot free throws. And he can't shoot, period. What he can do is he can score in the post. And that's it.
And how many teams throw the ball, like...
Yeah.
Is his future Chris Kaman, then? Is like that... Like, you're describing a Kaman without a jump shot.
Yeah, he's... I think he's Brook Lopez.
Okay.
But not... He's a poor man's Brook Lopez in that Brook Lopez doesn't rebound, but he does get... He does block out, and his teammates get higher rebounding when he's in the game, whereas I don't think Jahlil Okafor does that. So he's just a... You can throw it in, he's an incredible post scorer, probably one of the best post scorers in college basketball in recent memory, but that's all he can do. And if you can't shoot, I mean, that's a huge limitation. He's... an abysmal free throw shooter. Airballed a free throw against Gonzaga and shoots like 50%.
Well, and he didn't have a very good game against Gonzaga either. I mean, like, Gonzaga's probably one of the few, like, real, like, at least with size, like NBA caliber size in the mm-hmm. front line. And I wasn't impressed.
No, and I mean, the guys he's going against are, he should have been able to run circles around Chemek Karnowski, who's a huge monster of a man, but he's not like quick.
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't been aboard the Jalil before.
I saw him. He scored a lot of points in the Hoop Summit, but I was still always a Towns guy. I've been a Towns guy since the Hoop Summit 2 years ago, because he can step out. He can do a little bit. He can do a little bit with the ball. Like, he just does more things. And, like, I feel like that is just the most valuable thing that you could have, is just a big guy that does a lot of things. And he's quicker. He seems like he's got, you know, like, I know that Okafor can dribble a little bit and he can pass, but I just feel like Towns could do that more comfortably against, like, NBA speed than I think Okafor could.
And part of it's about, you got to think about the topic, you got to think about, like, team building, and when you get a guy like that, then you have to find a power forward who can both stretch the floor and be your paint defender, which
you need a Serge Ibaka.
Yeah, like yeah. there's one Serge Ibaka, and you don't have him.
So,
I mean, it's the same problem that Orlando's running into with Vucevic. Is like, it's hard to find a, maybe that's a good comparison for him, but without the jumper.
Right.
And I guess without the rebounding, so maybe that's not a good comparison. But Vucevic needs someone next to him who can stretch the floor and guard the paint.
If Myers Leonard ever learned how to guard the paint, he could be that guy. That's a big if.
He has horrible spatial and ball awareness of when he needs to go for a block. Like, you see a guy shoot it, and you're like, there's no way you can get to that. And then Myers goes for the block, misses it by, like, 3 feet.
And then then the ball is, like, behind him.
Yeah.
And he doesn't know where the ball is.
He's a frustrating player. He could be really good, though.
I think he's okay as what he is. I'm not gonna get mad about what Myers Leonard can't do, just because he can't do it. I think, you know, from talking to him, and talking to other people, it seems like he tries really hard.
He's getting a lot better.
He's trying really, really hard. But you know what? Like, trying isn't everything. You know? Like, it sucks. Like, but, like, sometimes you can try and try, and you can still suck at things. So
yeah,
he'll get better.
Yeah, he'll get there. Like, O'Shea's, I think they said he's like a 5-year project. I just hope he doesn't have his breakout year the year before they have to re-sign him. And then he leaves, and
the smart move would be to sign him to an extension this year, because I think you could get him for a pretty value. You could get him at a good value deal at this point. But if you let him go till next year and he keeps on getting better,
yeah,
it'd be harder to get a team-friendly deal out of that.
Right. And I mean, he's like added skills every year. I mean, I guess that's what you want to see, is that he's improving. But back to the draft, yeah, Jahlil Okafor. Who would you pair him with? There's, besides, if you're one of the top teams, there's no one that you can pair him with. Whereas someone like Willie Cauley-Stein, pretty much every time you hear someone talk about the draft, they're like, oh, you know who would fit with that team? Willie Cauley-Stein. And I know it's not all about, there's, you know, they say don't pick based on fit.
Mm-hmm.
But you, to a certain extent, you do.
Yeah.
Like, you should.
Like, yeah, I mean, it's easy to always say, like, always pick best talent available and, like, all that stuff. But there are certain times where you should pick by fit. And it's not even saying, I think that Cauley-Stein's skill set in the modern NBA is so much more valuable to a team on both ends mm-hmm. than Jahlil Okafor's skill set.
Yeah, and I mean, you look at, like, comparable players for each of them, it's really hard to find someone who's like Jahlil Okafor.
Yeah.
Whereas it's almost, it reminds me of the Emeka Okafor versus Dwight Howard picks between, so Jahlil Okafor is like his cousin or whatever.
Are they related?
I think they're related.
I didn't know that.
Maybe they're not related.
Maybe they're not related and they just have the same last name. I didn't know that.
I think they were related.
Okay. I mean, it would make sense.
Yeah, so Jahlil is kind of like Emeka, and Dwight Howard, or Towns is like Dwight Howard, where he's kind of the more raw but defensive player who can rebound.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going to end up being the same thing, where the obvious pick at the end of the day is the Towns and Dwight Howard.
Cauley-Stein gives me, like, with his ability to just catch dunks and stuff like that and set screens, he gives me Tyson Chandler vibes.
Oh, yeah.
I really, like, I love Cauley Stein. I wanted him to come out last year. I thought, but, I mean, good for him to stay in school because now he's a, you know, probably a top five, you know, top at least top 10 pick. And, or as you have him here, you have him four. I mean, I'm all about Cauley Stein. I love his game. I think you could totally bring him into any team, and he would defend, and he could pick it up quickly. I think he's the type of guy that you could build your defense around. He's a great screen center, great roller. I like his game. So I'm all about Cauley Stein.
I want to see him go to Orlando.
That would be perfect.
I think it would be awesome. I mean, he can't – they would have a little trouble with – well, actually, he would fit pretty well with Vucevic.
Yeah, because like, Vucevic can kind of step out a little bit. You know, he's not...
Cauley Stein can guard, like, four positions. I mean, he can guard, like, some point guard. Not like, you know, you're not going to put him on the point guard the whole time. But if he gets switched, he's fine, like, guarding a point guard.
And Elfrid Payton can throw alley-oops to him all day.
And that's... that would be, like, my favorite team ever.
Yeah,
I love the Magic.
Cauley Stein to Orlando. You heard it. We want it.
Because that was... Oladipo was my big guy that I preseason Chandler Parsons pick of the year.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden everyone got in on the Oladipo trade.
Yeah, people forgot that he started out that year on like most draft boards. He was like a second round, early second round guy. And that's my greatest achievement as a draft watcher is saying that
I remember this.
Oladipo is better than Shabazz Muhammad.
We were in your apartment and you were like, "Yo, Oladipo." Like, that's my... You called him the Chandler Parsons pick of the year in, like, December.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, it was around, like, February when people were like, maybe this guy's really, really good.
And then he jumped up too high to be... Obviously, you can't make the whatever pick he was, the second pick or whatever.
No.
It doesn't work.
Work for the CPP. Why?
Yeah, the CPPOTY.
CPP.
The Chandler Parsons pick of the year. The other guy that I have no idea about in the draft is Kristaps Porzingis.
I haven't even seen a YouTube video of this guy.
I looked up a YouTube video about 2 hours ago, and I watched it and thought, this guy's really skinny, and he can shoot. I have no other opinion on him.
All right.
So I won't comment on him.
Okay. We'll do more research. The Blazer Banter Research Department and the CPPOY Foundation is gonna do a little bit more investigation on Kristaps Porzingis.
Maybe. If I could find more YouTube videos.
Yeah. The NBA teams have probably, like, told them to, like, stay off the internet because, like, they don't want anybody to know about this guy. But he's obviously got a ton of buzz. I mean, he's on all these lists at top five and whatnot.
He's one of those guys I feel like none of the people who are non-NBA scouts know. Like, you don't really put him on your list because you're like, oh, I watched a YouTube video of him. I don't have any opinion of him.
Yeah.
He could be really good or he could be terrible. I have no idea.
So, I love the draft for reasons like that.
Just like, what's his face that Toronto picked?
Bruno.
Yeah, Bruno.
Out of nowhere.
Or whatever his last name is. And the reaction when they saw him is he's 2 years away from being 2 years away.
Yeah, I think it was a friend for sure that said that. And I was just like, wow. And like, yeah, nobody knew who that guy was. That was pretty incredible.
Fran Fraschilla and his fake hair.
His very good toupee.
Which then he cut his hair and now he has like real hair.
What?
Yeah, he's got like, I don't know what happened.
I haven't been watching the NRT.
Yeah, he has short hair now and it's like, it looks like his real hair. I mean, it's still like dyed black. Kind of like, that's another guy in the draft, Devin Booker for Kentucky. Look up high school pictures of him. I think he dyed his hair. It's like, it's darker than it was before.
We're going to call him the Born Identity.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember which one of the writers, I think it was a Grantland writer, like started posting pictures and was like, hey, Devin Booker dyed his hair.
It might have to be an investigation, maybe.
Maybe. We'll do that when we look up Porzingis.
Yeah, when we look up more YouTube videos of Porzingis. Any other guys that you really are impressed with so far in the tournament?
RJ Hunter.
RJ Hunter, okay, yeah.
That was the best team ever was whatever team they were. I don't even remember what team.
Georgia State.
Yeah, Georgia State, because they had R.J. Hunter, they had Kevin Ware, the leg snapper.
Yeah.
And then they had what's his name? He played for Kentucky when they were the year that they were just randomly terrible.
Harrow. Yeah.
Yeah, Ryan Harrow.
Yeah, Harrow.
Was on Georgia State, and I was watching it, and I was like, "Who is that guy?" And then I saw Harrow, and I was like, "I recognize that guy from somewhere." And I had to look him up and found out that's actually him.
2015 was the year of that guy was on Kentucky, wasn't he? that was the year of that guy used to play for Kentucky.
This year's the year of. I mean, knowing the players on Georgia State without actually knowing what Georgia State is. Like, I knew their players, but I could not have told you they were on Georgia State. And then just watching it be like, I know most of these guys, but I have no idea what Georgia State is.
It's
and their,
yeah.
And their coach tore his Achilles celebrating and then fell out of a chair.
Yeah, that was great. That was one of the best moments. I was stoked on Georgia State. That was I didn't pick them, but I think I was just stoked to see them win. It was fun.
Yeah, but my four guys that are like end of the first round that are like from the they were also good in the tournament was like Sam Decker from Wisconsin on the Buzz Cuts.
Right. The Wisconsin Buzz Cuts.
That's from. What's his face? Club Trillion.
Oh, right. Mark Titus. Yeah.
Mark Titus named him the Buzz Cuts, which we can talk about in a minute.
Okay.
And then Devin Booker, RJ Hunter, and Rondae Hollis-Jefferson.
So okay.
Four wing guys.
I liked Hollis-Jefferson. I was lucky enough to cover those Portland games. Hollis-Jefferson was good. He was awesome. I like Stanley Johnson, too. I like Stanley Johnson as, like... like, kind of like a poor man's Kawhi. Because he's, like, really good at offensive rebounding. Like, that's, like, his best skill right now on offense. And, like, he'll occasionally knock down an open jumper. But, like, I wouldn't want him to dribble or anything. But he could defend and he can offensive rebound for sure.
Yeah, he just looks like a beast out there. I mean, he's just huge.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, I could get with Stanley Johnson on my team for sure.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think about Kaminsky? I have this thing where I think he's trying really hard to become the new Christian Laettner, and I just think it's not working.
I have a comparison for him that only you're going to understand. I'm sorry to everyone who's listening. He is exactly like Connor Rourke.
Oh, yes, he is like Connor Rourke.
A guy who went to our high school. Anyways, Kaminsky, I think he's going to be... he's like... I think he's like a Kelly Olynyk type guy.
Yeah.
Where I think he's going to be like, okay, like a good like third big man.
I just think he's trying to do, like, but the thing is, like, I see his, like, tweets and stuff like that. He's, like, trying to act like a heel and stuff. And I'm just like, yo, man, like...
it doesn't work.
You watched the Leitner documentary too many times. Like, just be you, dude. Like, he's really trying hard to be, like, this heel. And, like, I just think he's trying too hard.
Be goofy Kelly Olynyk with weird hair and an awkward body. Don't be...
yeah.
Be what you are. You're on Wisconsin.
Yeah.
You can't be. Nobody hates Wisconsin.
Yeah. No, there's no, like, yeah, there's no one's going to hate you.
Yeah.
Like, I think he's really trying hard to get people to hate him, and it's just not going to happen.
It's just Buzz Cuts with cheese hats.
Yeah. I remember he came out, like, after Michigan State made, like, the tournament, he's like, everyone was talking bad about the Big Ten. I was like,
who?
Like, what? I don't even watch college basketball. I never heard people talking bad about the Big Ten. Like, everyone knew that Wisconsin was good and Michigan State's always good. Like,
yeah, the Big Ten was really good this year. And
Ohio State!
And everyone was like, yeah, they're really good this year. It was a pretty, like, I don't think they were overrated or underrated. They were pretty much properly rated.
Yeah, no, that was just really funny to me because, like, I spend way too much time on Twitter and I see Kaminsky's tweets and he's always, like, trying to be like, oh, the haters are mad and stuff like that. It's like, no, like, Kaminsky, no one hates you, man.
Like, everyone has this either a neutral opinion on you or a slightly positive but still kind of neutral opinion on you.
Yeah.
You're like, just like, yeah, he's Kaminsky.
He has a nice jumper, you know? It's just... yeah, that was pretty funny to me. I like Sam Decker. He's really, really athletic. I don't want to say sneaky athletic because that just means he's white and athletic.
Yeah.
But, no, he's a great athlete. I hadn't really seen Wisconsin play that much, and mostly everything I knew about Wisconsin was Kaminsky. So it was cool to see him play.
Yeah, I think they're really good. I think they're I picked him in my bracket. I picked him to beat Kentucky. I think Kentucky's probably better, but I think if anyone can beat him, it's Wisconsin.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that game. Kentucky-Wisconsin's going to be fun. Towns against Kaminsky and Stein. Like, yeah, that's going to be... I'm excited for the Final Four. Like, I love the tournament. I wish I watched more college basketball just because I wish I knew more of these guys like you do. But I'm excited for the Final Four. It's always one of my favorite weekends. I love that Saturday. It's, you know, so there's a Blazer game going on during it, so I'm going to try and watch it. But, you know, the Final Four is always great. I love it.
Yeah, I think my other comparison for this year is, doesn't Michigan State kind of remind you of UConn last year? Where they're like, they're that team in the Final Four where everyone's just kind of like, oh yeah, like Duke is going to be great, Wisconsin's amazing, Kentucky's one of the best teams ever, Michigan State's in the tournament.
Yeah.
Like, kind of like they're like the last one you bring up, and then you're like, and Michigan State. And they're kind of like, you're not really sure how they won all those games. And
right.
They're just like, yeah, they're pretty good. They're okay, I guess. And then they're going to end up like winning it, and you're going to be like, oh.
All right.
UConn won, or, oh, Michigan State won. They're like a, both programs are like, you know, traditionally have been very good, but mm-hmm. they don't have like any like NBA talent really on their team. They both have like a really good guard in Trice and Napier last year. Which also, how crazy was it? There was two guys in college basketball named Shabazz in 1 year, last year.
Right.
Or 2 years ago, whatever it was.
Yeah, yeah. Muhammad and Napier. Yeah. Yeah. There's two guys in the league now named Shabazz.
Two people decided to name their kid Shabazz.
And both from, like, completely different parts of the country. Like, Napier's from New York and Muhammad's from L.A., right? Yeah. I want to say that. There, obviously, the Wisconsin buzz cuts. Obviously, Duke also has the same haircut on their team.
Yeah, everyone on Duke has like a little like it's like a mushroom afro thing going where it's like the exact same size of hair.
Mm-hmm. And they like they both have it faded down to like the same spot on the side of the head. Yeah, I picked up on that too. Everyone has like a little bit of a poof.
It's the toad look from Mario. they all got, and so that's my my chemistry theory, that I think if you can get all your players on the team to have the same haircut, it's going to help build chemistry. But I don't know if it's a result of having good chemistry, or it's helping actually build that good chemistry. If you can get everybody to have the same haircut, you got the buzz cuts and you got the toads.
I think someone needs to do a long form like Grantland story on this. Someone's got to investigate this.
Someone needs to investigate this and Porzingis.
Yes.
And Devin Booker's hair.
All those things
need. We need an investigative team to look into these
outside the lines. I think that's a job for Bob Lee and his crew. Any other, you know, now that we've moved on from the draft, I think we pretty much covered what we need to cover at this point. Obviously, Final Four is going to be great. Blazer-wise, Darrell Wright broke his hand last night.
I missed that. I didn't see that.
Yeah, so I guess we're going to see more Myers-Leonard, I would guess, or Allen Crabbe. I'm not really sure. I guess we'll find out, but...
That's concerning. He was having a great like second half of the.
It was crazy. I didn't even know. I thought he was like a completely different player. Like he looked like old and slow for the first like month of the season,
mm-hmm.
and then he started looking like a small forward again. Like he could actually move.
He's actually playing some power forward too, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was actually looking pretty good doing it.
Yeah, he was guarding like Rudy Gobert, and he rebounded his position pretty well, and that's like. You know, I thought maybe any hopes the Blazers had, maybe you could go Darrell at the 4, Aldridge at the 5, and, you know, down the stretch when you play against teams like San Antonio who are going to go small, the Warriors who are going to go small, if you had to play them. Obviously, I don't think the Blazers would beat them anyway, but at least you could at least match up, kind of, with Darrell, and I don't think they can do that anymore.
Yeah.
They got to play Myers there.
Yeah, that's concerning. I don't know what they're going to do there. I don't think things are looking good for the postseason with obviously Wes, now Darrell Wright, Chris Kaman replacing his hands with bricks.
Yeah.
I don't know what's up, but he's whole second half of the year, he started off so well. Maybe he can get back into it with the playoffs, but he's kind of – he has so many turnovers in the post.
He's one of those guys that if you're talking about a guy that should rest, I think Kamen is one of those guys that needs to rest because, like, his production has just steadily declined since, like, mid-December. And then it's just, like, he's just not the same guy. Like, he was, like – you know, he was like the other LaMarcus for like their second unit. Like he had like a 30% usage rate, and then it's just pew! So like, yeah, I think he'd be a guy that they could rest and they could get by playing Joel Freeland there.
Well, they, I mean, now that they have, because they've, have they officially won the Northwest?
If
do they have it,
if they gotta play the Lakers tomorrow, so yes, they're gonna clinch it on tomorrow because they're playing the Lakers. So they're going to clinch that, but then, like, other than that, it's kind of, they might not have home court, and I guess at this point, honestly, I don't think it really matters either.
No, I mean, I think at this point you...
You just want LaMarcus healthy.
Yeah, once you get win the Northwest, then you just, you're guaranteed the four spot.
Yeah.
And so you're probably not going to get, with the schedule the Clippers and the Spurs have and how well they're playing, you're probably not going to beat them out for home court.
Right.
So I think you just get healthy, go in as the four seed with, you know, no home court advantage, but it's fine. You're not going to get it anyways, so just get healthy.
Yeah.
See what happens.
Lillard's back was, like, acting up towards the end of last game. Like, your only chance is that both those guys go, is that both Lillard and Aldridge just completely go Shaq and Kobe. Like, that's your only hope. So, like, you need both of those guys super healthy. And, yeah, I think it's really not out of it's not really in their control. I mean, San Antonio does have a couple of games against Houston where, like, they might be able to catch up on the division. But now they have the same – Blazers, I think, have the same record as the Spurs.
Yeah.
So that's not – yeah, it's going to be tough. Yeah, they might have to think about resting guys. And their schedule is pretty brutal the rest of the way.
Yeah, and I think they – I mean, especially – I think their biggest problem later in the year is – with losing both Wes and Lillard's three-point percentage dipping, they've lost kind of their spacing, where Lillard's kind of keeping up his scoring, but it's mostly, like, inside now.
Mm-hmm.
But the lane's kind of closing in more and more with this percentage going down, which I assume is due to his fingers. Is that...
I think fingers, that was something. It also could be connected to his back. You know, because your back is, you know, that's a huge thing for everything. Like, if your knees aren't feeling well, like, that hurts your back. And or your back will hurt your knees, or that'll hurt the lift on your shot. Like, I mean, you know, I've had my fair share of back problems. When your back is tight, you can't bend your knees as much and get as much lift on your jumper. Or, you know, it's just, like, little things like that. So, it would... Lillard will never, ever say that he wants to take a break because he's a professional athlete and is a macho man. But he could definitely use one, I think.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, Aldridge can use one with his hands.
Right.
I mean, pretty much everyone. Batum is always banged up.
He's looked better.
He's looked better.
That's if Batum could play, like, a true, like, third, like, if he could play, like a true, like, third scorer, like, a real, like, you know, if they could get, like, a real big three out of that. If he plays, like, FIBA Batum.
Yeah.
Maybe not taking as many shots, but, like, scoring a lot. Because they're going to have to find somebody else to get buckets. Also, weird thing, I don't know if you noticed this last night, the Blazers ran a lot of plays for CJ.
Yeah.
Down the stretch. Like, a lot of plays. It was weird.
He's
good, though.
He's looked just about as good as anyone else. I mean, for what you'd expect him to play like.
Yeah.
He's looked pretty incredible. And he actually, we talked about this earlier in the year, the CJ's lean that he does and why he used to fall over so much.
Right.
So if you watch CJ, what he used to do more is when he was driving, instead of bending, kind of like dropping his hips, he would bend forward at the waist. So he's kind of like leaning forward as he drove. And so he'd get bumped and he would just fall, which is why you saw him fall down, like, all the time. But now if you watch him, he actually, like, sinks his hips more, and he seems more upright, which then helps his vision because he has his eyes up as opposed to, like, his head kind of bent over down. He keeps his eyes up, sinks his hips more, and it seems like it's helping him out. I mean, I don't know if that's all of it or even
I think there's something to that. His body just looks more ready. I think he lost some weight. I think his body fat percentage is down from. I mean, this was in the preseason. He really cut some of that weight because he was kind of heavy last year. You know, when guys get drafted, they get drafted and then they're doing pre-draft stuff, and then they got to do stuff with their agency, and then they got to do media stuff, and then CJ is super involved with media stuff and always doing writing and whatnot and appearing on shows and having a radio show and all that stuff. So, like, you know, he was doing a lot of stuff. You're not really eating right and stuff like that. So he finally kind of got on a program. But, I remember you mentioned that to me last year about him leaning over. But I think you're right because he's doing that thing now where, like, that Chris Paul thing where he goes into the drive, kind of sticks his butt out a little bit.
And, yeah, gets in front of the guy and kind of slows up.
Yeah, like the Steve Nash, Chris Paul thing. Like, he's starting to do that a little bit more now. More minutes for CJ, honestly, at this point in the season, why not? Because they're not going to go super far. There's really no reason not to give CJ as much burn as possible, especially in the playoffs.
I also have I told you about my movie idea for... This is a little off track, but movie idea?
No.
So I think this is my idea for The Hills Have Eyes 3 or 2. I don't know which one they're on because I haven't really watched them.
Right.
But... So there's two main characters, CJ McCollum and Myers Leonard, playing two young college kids who decide to go out on a camping trip. They go out to kind of like rural Mississippi or something like that, and then they meet these two guys at a gas station. And it's the bad guy role, the crazy hillbillies, is going to be played by Steve Blake and Chris Kamen. And basically, then it's going to be your classic killer movie with the two college kids trying to escape the psychos with, you know, the little sneaky guy, Steve Blake, and then his big hulking guy that does all his dirty work for him, and Chris Kamen.
I like it. I pitched the other day that in the Steve Blake biopic, he should be played by Jeremy Renner. Jeremy Renner just shaves his head. And then it's the Steve Blake biopic starring Jeremy Renner. I think you, like, angry Steve Blake playing like AAU ball with Udonis Haslem in Miami, like getting into some seedy stuff. Like, I could see it.
I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm in. So that was a little bit off track, but I think in the off season, I think we need to pitch this idea to them.
I think we should
film the next The Hills Have Eyes. Although I haven't seen the first one, or the if there's a second one, I haven't seen it.
Hollywood Studios execs.
Call me.
Yeah. Call Ryan if you're listening to the Blazer Banter podcast. Ryan, this was awesome.
It's good talk.
Great draft talk. Great Blazers talk. From our neighborhood. The community loves us.